don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy.
Don't worry. My name is Gail Moskowitz. I'm going to be your host for Mental Health Matters. I'm a licensed clinical social worker, and I've been privileged to practice in the Richmond community for 31 years. Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues about mental health. We'll talk about interpersonal relations, addiction, sex and sexuality, and hopefully discussing healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and fulfilling life. Psychological issues are complex, and they are misunderstood. All of us have had issues that are emotional in nature. We all have blind spots, and we all get confused. We have all experienced sadness or depression, anxiety or panic, peer pressure, loss, and the list goes on and on. Yet, as a society, we underfund mental health programs, have morally confused notions of how to make our pain go away, and we judge others for their behavior. So each week on Mental Health Matters, I will introduce and discuss a topic, either with a knowledgeable guest or perhaps from my own body of information. And then we will give you, the audience, an opportunity to ask questions or weigh in on the subject. Today's topic is going to be about divorce. And it's going to be about divorce because divorce really plays havoc in families. And unfortunately, more marriages than don't make it these days. More marriages don't make it than they do these days. So there are a lot of people out there dealing with this just awful topic. And unfortunately, people then start the divorce process, which winds up being even more horrible than the horrible marriage was. So today we're going to talk about something called collaborative practice or collaborative law practice, which is an interdisciplinary collaborative way in which to approach the process of divorce. This is a new way for you to resolve disputes respectfully, hopefully without going to court, and you'll be working with trained professionals, including mental health professionals, who are important to all areas of your life. Collaborative divorce practice offers you and your spouse or your partner the support, protection, and guidance of your own lawyers without going to court. Additionally, collaborative law allows you the benefit of child and financial specialists. My guest today is Susan Beneva. She is a divorce coach trained in collaborative practice. She also is a licensed clinical social worker. And she's been practicing for 25 years in Richmond, providing individual, family, and couples therapy. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I am delighted to be here. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, Gail. And I am really thrilled to have a chance to talk with the Richmond community about this alternative way of going through a divorce.
After we speak with Susan for a while, you, the audience, will have an opportunity to call in whatever question she might not have answered for you in her initial speaking. The number to reach us is 649-9737, 649-9737. And for those of you who are listening from out of town, remember that's 804. Susan, tell us about collaborative practice. How can a couple make the decision about what is best for them, and at what point in the process would they make, oh, you know what? Tell us about collaborative practice. I take that question back.
Okay. Collaborative process is actually not a new process. It's been practiced for quite some time all over the world, in the United States as well. It's relatively new to Richmond, and it really is part of a continuum of approaches to getting a divorce. You know, and let me briefly describe that continuum so folks have a context in which to place this particular alternative. At one end of the continuum is the kitchen table divorce. This is the simplest, cheapest, easiest way to get a divorce. You sit down at the table with your spouse, you write up a plan that you agree to, and you take it to your lawyer, and it's reviewed and written up in legalese, and you're divorced. Most couples wouldn't be getting a divorce if they could do that.
You mean if they could communicate that well?
Precisely.
Right.
So for most people, that's not really an option. Moving a little further down the continuum is mediation. Mediation can take a lot of different forms. A mediator can be a lawyer or a non-lawyer. It could involve a mediator plus each party having their own lawyer. There are lots of different ways in which mediation is practiced. At the far end of the continuum is a traditional adversarial divorce in which both parties have an attorney and are moving toward the possibility of litigating in court. Most cases don't end up in court, but they're still having to prepare for a full court case, and they become, by definition, very, very adversarial, and it's sort of like throwing gasoline on the fire of a divorce. The collaborative model is in between the kitchen table divorce and the mediation approach because it involves a team of professionals that approach divorce in a very holistic way. They recognize that while divorce is a legal process and therefore each party needs an attorney representing their legal interests, it's also a financial separation that can be very complicated, and it involves a neutral financial party. And first and foremost, it is an emotional divorce that an entire family is going through. And this is particularly important when there are children involved in the divorce, because collaborative law, taking this interdisciplinary holistic approach, says how can we hold this family through the divorce process in a way that is safe and will allow them to come out the other end of this process communicating better, healthier, feeling more functional, able to co-parent, and really move on with a restructured family that works better than it did before, as opposed to one that has been so damaged by the divorce process that the problems they started out with are significantly worse.
I can't even imagine watching that be the outcome of a divorce. I've watched so many people be so hurt in the divorce process that years later, they're coming into therapy with me, and it had to do with what went on with their parents when they were still children. How does it happen? How do you make this happen?
It really is absolutely remarkable. You know, a case that was finished recently that was a difficult one. This couple finished their process, signed the papers, and embraced each other, which certainly bodes well for their capacity to co-parent their children. The way in which it happens is that everyone on the collaborative team, the attorneys, the mental health professionals, and the financial neutrals, are absolutely committed to helping this couple find a safe space in which they can figure out what goals are important to them. It's the most empowering way of getting a divorce. And then figure out how they can most effectively maintain a voice in the process and advocate for themselves in a way that they will be heard and remember what it is that's important, i.e. the health of their children, as opposed to getting caught and bogged down in the emotional triggers that perhaps contributed to the divorce.
It's interesting that you talk about all of these different professionals being part and parcel of this process, and then you speak about this process being less expensive than an adversarial divorce. How could it be less expensive if you have to pay for all
yes.
of these professionals to be a part of it?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question, Gail. The truth of the matter is it's not always less expensive. It always depends, and I think this is true in an adversarial divorce as well, with how contentious the couple is. Because the more contentious the couple is, the more professional time it's going to take. Now, when you are using a team of professionals, they all are billing at different rates. So the more work you can do with the financial neutrals and the mental health professionals,
who charge less than the lawyers.
Precisely. Right. The cheaper your hourly rate is going to be. And obviously, there are times when you must have the mental health professionals. You need to be advised of your legal rights and what the legal possibilities are and are not. But there are other issues that really are not legal issues that have to do with the needs of your children or your emotional needs.
Let's get back to that in one second. Let me just say out loud that our number, if you'd like to call and ask Susan a question, is 804-649-9737, 649-9737. And we do welcome your questions. Susan, the next thing I want to say is that How do you take two people who are so mad at each other and so at each other's throats and really come into this process with the sense of, I'm going to get you because you've made me miserable? And people are very good at blaming other people for their misery, and generally it's their spouse, and turn them into two individuals who want to hug each other at the end of the process. It's hard for me to even imagine that.
It's a pretty remarkable dance to be a part of. And part of what we ask of people coming into this, and it's not right for everybody, is that they have to be willing to work toward maintaining a respectful demeanor in the process. And we will help support them in doing that. But they have to at least hold that as a goal, as opposed to, I am going to get my spouse no matter what. What we will do is talk with someone about what their triggers are. What are some of the things that are going to make them explosive? And try and take some of the intensity out of that when we meet with them individually. And then we ask them about, and what are those triggers that you know of for your spouse? Because most of us know pretty well how to push the button of the person
we've
been living with. It's a wonderful skill.
I'll do a whole show on that.
We ask them, you know, you're the expert. Tell us how to push your spouse's button. And then we look at, how can we not do that? Because if you really want to be heard, we want to stay away from those trigger points. How can we speak about the things that are important? And we help people figure out what's really important. Not the small irritations that you need to put behind you, because that's why you're getting a divorce. But where do you want to be in 5 years? What do you want for your children in 10 years? How do you want this to look? And how can we keep that front and center in our priorities, and how can we get there so that we're not sidetracked by all of the sort of contamination that brought them to a place of divorce?
That's a good word, contamination. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good point to reiterate to people that if you are in the middle of a divorce or thinking about getting a divorce, the more contentious you want to be, the more money your lawyer is going to make, the less money you're going to wind up with, the more hurt your children are going to be, the harder it's going to be for you to heal from this process. And that is the truth. Yes. I am saying the truth. So I try to beg people not to get into this adversarial position, but it's hard to drag them from it sometimes.
It really is. And one of the things that we do that's helpful in this dance is we bring in a child specialist, another mental health professional whose job it is to be the voice of the children in the process. They meet with the children, they talk to them about what they're feeling and experiencing in a way that is appropriate developmentally for that child. And then they come back to the rest of the team and the parents and they say, here's what we understand not only about your children, but about the developmental needs of children this age and children that are going to be having different needs in a year or two. And what are some of the decisions that you face relative to their needs? And we begin to look at how we might do this and how they might parent in a way that's going to minimize the distress that their children experience in the process.
People are so regressed when they're going through the process of divorce. They're at their worst. They are at their worst. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when they move into this process, their children are a mess.
Yeah, and they often don't recognize that their children are a mess because the children are very concerned about their parents, and they often do a remarkably good job of covering up their distress or acting it out in very indirect ways, and the parents don't quite put that together. So,
because they're so selfish.
Well, I don't know that I would call it selfish as I would. They are so traumatized.
They're in their own pain. Yes.
And it's hard when you're in exquisite pain to really look past that pain and see your child clearly.
And that's really what I meant.
Yeah.
When we are our most regressed, we are our most turned inward, and mm-hmm. it is so hard to see what's going on around us.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's useful for both parents simultaneously to hear, you know, this divorce is, and this particular piece of this divorce is making Johnny so upset, and that's why his grades are going down. He can't focus. He's worried about what's going on at home when he's at school.
I have an interesting question for you. First, let me just say, if anybody who's listening has a question, you can certainly call in and talk to Susan. And the number is 804-649-9737. And we welcome both your questions and if you'd just like to weigh in on the subject. So my question is, what if you're a person who is committed to collaborative, going through the collaborative process, and your spouse isn't? Do you have some suggestions about how to perhaps bring them along or talk to them about it?
That's a great question that comes up a lot. Very often things are so contentious that if one spouse says to another, I think it's daytime outside, the other one will say, no, it's nighttime. So it's always dangerous when somebody goes home and says, guess what? I've discovered this idea about collaborative divorce.
Well, I'm not doing that.
Exactly. Right. So there are a couple of ideas. One is that I would want people to know that all of the collaborative professionals in Richmond, the attorneys, the mental health professionals, the financial neutrals, are willing to offer 20 to 30 minutes free consult to anyone that wants to either call or come in and talk about what is this collaborative divorce process and how is it different, better than, worse than other alternatives.
So if you can just get your spouse just to commit to coming and speaking, something shifts because they meet the professionals and they can see that this process might actually be of help
to
them.
That's right. And they do not need to go to the same person that their spouse has gone to. If they want to go, there is a wonderful website for the International Academy of Collaborative Professionals that will tell them how to find a collaborative professional in their community. And then they can look at all of the profiles of the collaborative professionals.
I will tell you that I have that on my website, and then my website is linked to Susan's website, and I'll give you that information before we hang up today. I think we have a caller. Caller, what's your question? Hi, this is Gail Moskowitz, and you're on Mental Health Matters, and we're happy to answer your question.
I just wanted to know if it would be of any help for me to go by myself. My husband and I have tried therapy, and
The caller wants to know if it would be of any use to go by herself, that you've tried therapy. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I can hear you now. Ma'am?
Okay, and he didn't want to go back, and I don't like my marriage, and I don't know. Would a collaborative law person help me?
So the question is, this woman, and you know what? If you would be so kind, perhaps you could hang up, and I'll answer your question on the air. We're just getting used to all of this, and I'm not so sure we're all that facile with our ability to take questions, but we're really working on it. So thank you for being our maiden caller, and I'll answer the question on the air. Thank you. So the question is, this woman is married. She's unhappy. She and her husband have had therapy. It doesn't sound like it worked out very well. She's interested in moving toward divorce. Would it make sense for her to go see a collaborative professional by herself?
Yeah, the answer is absolutely it would. I heard, and perhaps I was reading into it, I'm not sure because we didn't get a chance to really chat. I heard perhaps some ambivalence or a lack of clarity from her as to whether she really was moving into divorce or if she thought that maybe there was some other way to save the marriage. If that's the case, I think that it's very important to look at all options before moving into a legal divorce. And talking to a collaborative professional preserves the possibility of the marriage staying intact, certainly better than talking to a non-collaborative lawyer would. About 10% of the folks that begin a collaborative divorce process don't divorce. They learn enough skills and figure out how to talk to each other in a way that they're actually able to resolve the marital conflict.
That's really interesting, that people come to see a collaborative professional and they might then learn some skills to actually stay in their marriage is pretty amazing. It's a way to perhaps get people into some therapy that they've never allowed themselves to get.
Well, I guess one could say that, except I think it's very important to make the distinction that the coaching that is a part of collaborative law, even though it is provided by people that are trained therapists, is not therapy. And when we are seeing someone in a collaborative law process for divorce coaching, we cannot also be their therapist. If they need therapy and want therapy, we can certainly refer them to a therapist. And we cannot be their therapist when that process is over either.
I love that there's a process that people can get some clarity and then begin to figure out what would be best, that
yes.
they could move on to another therapist. We have another question. I'm so excited. So, caller, you're on the air. Tell me, you're on Mental Health Matters. This is Gail Moskowitz. Tell me what's on your mind or what's your question. I think we have a little bit of a delay, Julia.
Great, and frankly, I feel bullied.
You feel, can you
this
say?
This for Susan.
Okay, good.
I'm here.
I feel bullied by her.
You feel bullied by your wife?
You feel bullied by your wife, and you want to know if...
And I don't know if I... Yes, by my... Yes, and I can't stand up to her sometimes.
Okay. He says he feels bullied by his wife. He cannot stand up to her sometimes. And I guess he would like to know if the process would work for them.
How would I expect this process to work?
I am so glad that you called with that question. And the reason I'm glad is because I think that's one of the things that collaborative law does best, and that is to help teach and enable people how to stand up for themselves rather than saying, I'm going to pay a lawyer to be an advocate and stand up for me, which is fine. They do an admirable job of being people's advocates. This teaches you how to be your own advocate because you want to be able to have that capacity when the divorce is over. So that, for example, if you have children and you have to work out co-parenting and who's going to pick Johnny up from school and when is Mary going to be at whose house, those are things you would be able to talk to your wife about later. Those are skills you would take with you. The collaborative process allows you to work with a coach that will help you figure out what you need to do to stand up to her and really identify what you want and need and how to best get there and ask for that.
It's also an interesting question that a male called and said that he feels bullied by his wife. I think we have this preconceived notion that that men abuse their wives and wives don't abuse their husbands.
Right.
And nothing really could be further from the truth because it's a two-way street when
Absolutely.
It comes to acting out on your spouse. I think we have another call. Is that correct, Julia? Okay. Again, forgive us for the technical problems. This is a maiden voyage for WRIR, and we're working on it, and it's exciting, and hopefully we'll just get better and better. So this is Gail Moskowitz, and you're on Mental Health Matters. And what's your question, caller? So it's hard to get the question, and I'm not sure if you're still on the line. I think that perhaps the caller is no longer on the line, and I'm sorry for that because we really are trying to work out the kinks in all of this. I have another question, if I can, wouldn't it be, how do people go about this? I mean, how are they going to find somebody to help them? What do they do? How do they get in there and get you?
Oh, Gail, you're asking all the right questions. When someone decides that they want more information about a collaborative divorce, the good news is that they can approach this in a lot of different ways. They can call me. They can go to the website. They can identify other mental health professionals that are collaborative professionals. They can find on the website attorneys that are collaborative attorneys. And they can approach anyone for that free consult or even a phone call to say, I would like some more information about this. And here are the particulars of my situation, and would this be appropriate for me? And who can you help me find to put a team together? You don't have to put it all together yourself.
If you went to a collaborative law professional like you,
yes,
could you then get that person in touch with a lawyer and all
absolutely.
Those other pieces of that?
It is not as complicated as it sounds. All someone has to do is make one contact with any collaborative professional, and we would walk them through the rest of the process and help them find a team.
Susan, how many mental health professionals know about this? Because other than you, I have never heard anyone speak about it. How come it's so hard to...
Well, I think Richmond is not typically the most progressive place, and it has taken...
I'm shocked.
It has taken Richmond a little bit longer to invite collaboration than some other communities where it's been well established for 20 years. There are only, I think, about 8 trained collaborative mental health professionals in the Richmond area. I'm guessing there are 50 attorneys, maybe less, in the Richmond area that are fully trained in collaborative law, and less than half a dozen financial neutrals. So it's still a pretty small group relative to the number of attorneys and mental health professionals in the area. It does require a fair amount of training in order to get certified in collaborative training.
What I want to say to our listeners is thank you so much for tuning in for to the first show of Mental Health Matters, and how you can begin to be in touch with me so that I can make sure you get the information about collaborative law professionals is that you would contact me through the WRIR website or my own website, which you can access through the WRIR website. It's all so new for me, and next week I think I'll be able to really specifically give you all of that information, but easily you can contact me through WRIR. All Susan's information is there. You can find out about collaborative law professionals. And let me tell you something, callers. Thank you so much for participating in our first show. I'm very excited. Next week, we're going to talk about the kinds of things that people go to counseling for. It should be a fun show because we'll talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and hopefully be able to tune you into the kinds of resources that are going on in Richmond as we speak. I'm Gail Moskowitz. I'm your host of Mental Health Matters. I'll be back next week, next Monday at 1 o'clock, and I hope that you will join me again. Susan, you're a doll. Thanks for showing up today, and thank you for helping me launch my show.
Thank you.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy now.